Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw from the UK at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us, of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Raw from the UK is usually never the normal. And really, last night was no exception, but there's a lot to talk about, so let's get right to it. First off, we should note that the announcement came long before Monday Night Raw that Nia Jax had challenged. Well, we didn't even know that she challenged her. We found out that Ronda Rousey was getting a women's title shot against Nia Jax at Money in the Bank. We were then treated not once or twice or three times, but endless amounts of times to the footage of them at some NBC festivities thing about their shows and all the crapola where Nia Jax basically challenges Ronda Rousey. Now, this is the WWE's way of getting out of the question, what the hell did Ronda Rousey do to deserve a title shot when she hasn't had one single solitary one-on-one match? Not one. So the way they did it, knowing they were going to get criticism, is they had Nia Jax come over and challenge her, and Ronda Rousey plays the part of the shrinking violet who says, oh, gee whiz, this is all so sudden. I don't think I deserve this honor. I mean, I've not really had many matches here, and there are many deserving girls. Spare me. We know wrestling is predetermined. We know this was booked. So for you to try to play coy, oh, gee, well, I don't want it to be taken as favoritism. You know exactly what it is. And it's ridiculous. And I'll go farther than that. This, again, stems from the bad publicity you got from the Saudi Arabian nightmare, which I told you was going to come back to backfire against you. So now you got so much bad publicity from that fiasco that you say, well, we need positive female publicity. So Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax at Money in the Bank, that'll get the papers going. That'll get everybody stirring the pot. That'll control the media's perspective for a while. So it's not all negative, why did you leave the girls home? It's, oh my God, Ronda Rousey's going to fight for the title in the WWE. Is it clever? Yeah, it's clever. Is it manipulative? Yes, it's manipulative. And is it further proof that the women's revolution that I've told you, every one of you that listen to this show, I have told you verbatim until I'm sure you're sick of hearing it, it's a lie. It's a big publicity stunt, and that's all it is. No one is out there championing women's causes and saying, rah, 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 we want the women to be equal to the men. Ronda Rousey came in and said, I don't want any special privileges. I'm going to be on every single Monday Night Raw. I want to jump right in there and earn everything I got. What has she done? It's been WrestleMania in the beginning of April. This is May. This is the middle of May. She's had one match, and she's interfered in one. And maybe in a tag team. And that's it. That's all she's done. She's done nothing because she's not ready. And I told you all she wasn't ready when everyone was gushing all over themselves about how wonderful she was at WrestleMania and how, oh my goodness, they just, you know, lit the fuse and she exploded. I said this was the most practiced, rehearsed, over and over and over again for months match you could possibly think of. And they're not ready to throw her into a match where it's not going to be overly rehearsed like that. And you see, they haven't. Now, whether she wins or not is irrelevant. I doubt it. Because if she does, I'm not really sure where this goes from here. I mean, what do you do then? What happened to her and Natty being buddies, and then maybe there's going to be a problem? What happened to all that storyline? There's just nothing going on. Because the WWE is in constant damage control. That's why. Damage control. And if you think this ridiculously staged nonsense, where Charlotte is saying, oh, hi, Rhonda, how are you? Let's all go woo. Can you do woo? I thought I was watching Sesame Street or something. My IQ is shrinking as I'm watching this. And then if that's not bad enough, here comes Nia Jax all smiles and happy over and says, oh, you did the woo pretty good, but can you do this? Holds up the belt. Rhonda says, what do you mean? Well, can you be the champion? Should I hope to one day, but, well, there's no time like the present. And then Rhonda goes into, oh, golly gee, I'm just a girl starting at the bottom. I don't deserve such an honor. There are other girls back there more deserving than me. To which Nia says, but I'm challenging you. And Charlotte's saying, accept it, accept it. I almost threw up in my mouth. Ridiculous. You want a women's revolution? You want people to really take the women seriously? Then here's a thought. Let them compete. And let's see who gets over and who doesn't get over. And let's base who gets a title shot on the performance that we see in the ring. If a girl has two or three victories, you've booked her to have two or three victories, then she's in line for a title shot. But you can't just waltz through the door. I don't care who you are. I don't care. Did CM Punk get a title shot when he walked in the door of UFC? Did they say, well, I mean, you've been the longest reigning WWE champion in history. Next to Bruno. So you're getting a title shot right away. That's it. You jumped the line, my friend, because you were a WWE champion. They didn't do that. They told him you start at the bottom. You fight some dude who's had about two fights in his life. And you work your way up. You earn it. Because that's what a legitimate sport does. See, this is what I've been warning everyone about when I said if the WWE wants to be thought of as a legitimate sport, then they got to act like a legitimate sport. And the very nature of pro wrestling is it's not a legitimate sport. So don't try to be glad-handing with ESPN and saying, oh, yeah, you know, you should be reporting our progress just like you do boxing and MMA. No, you shouldn't. WWE is right where it belongs when it's on TMZ. I mean, there you go. That's what it is. It's entertainment, folks. And it's athletic-based entertainment, yes. But you can't have it this way. You can't have it both ways. Because this is what ends up happening, and it ends up being a clusterfuck. Mike, mm-hmm. this segment was not good.
It wasn't good at all, and the thing is, I understand that Natty and what's her name are big friends as well. So probably Natty and Nia are big friends as well. So what they're probably hoping is going to happen is Nia can get these two girls together and say, look, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it this way, and we're going and it'll look as good as the WrestleMania match did. You know, when you've got a woman that's going to be friends with both girls together, and she basically is training both girls, you know.
But even if this match looks great, it's a match that never should have happened. How do you justify this when you have girls backstage saying, wait a minute, I've been here every week. I've been fighting every week. I've been putting my time in every week. And Ronda Rousey's just been glad-handing people and showing up and smiling and waving to the audience, and she automatically gets a title shot, Sabretooth?
Right, I agree. And also how they did it, it makes Nia Jax look bad, because when Ronda Rousey says the other girl's waiting ahead of me, Nia Jax has said, oh, she's like, it doesn't matter, I want you. I mean, so it makes Nia Jax look like a jerk, not Ronda Rousey, and that's messed up, you know. And I wonder, like, if these same fans who boo Roman Reigns, I mean, will they boo Ronda Rousey now? She's getting the exact same treatment that they claim Roman Reigns is getting. So will they boo her now? I doubt it.
I doubt it too. But you know what? They may force the fans to do it because this is getting old. And I had a lot of people write to me yesterday say, "What the hell, man? How does Ronda Rousey rate to get a title shot? And is this just them attempting to change the direction of the narrative that the press is reporting on their women's division from why'd you leave the women home to, oh, wait, Ronda Rousey's going to fight for the title?" And the answer to that, Todd, is yes, that's why they did it.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, she's not ready to be in the main course of the title picture. She's not ready.
She's not ready, and on top of that, I will be very surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised because the WWE will do anything for publicity, good publicity, but I just don't think she's going to win it. How is she going to win it? I knew something was up when she wasn't in any qualifying matches for the Money in the Bank. And no one had been announced to fight Nia Jax because I'm like, well, what, they're not going to have a title shot or whatever? I don't know. Something will come of this. And we will have the first feud with Ronda Rousey and maybe it'll be Natty. I don't know. But regardless of what happens, the fact that she jumped the line, I don't care if you make this phony little thing. Well, I'm challenging you. Sabretooth is right. If Charlotte Flair has to stand there and say, "This is going to be awesome, woo," what she should have said was, "Wait, Nia, wait a minute. I mean, with all due respect to Ronda, there are a lot of girls here who busted their ass working for a title shot. You can't do that. You can't do that." That's what would happen if everybody was serious about the women's division, you know. But they're not serious about the women's division, and they've never been serious about the women's division, and they're not going to be serious about the women's division. This is all a look how politically correct we are. Give us applause, give us kudos, give us thumbs up for being revolutionary when, in fact, they wouldn't spit on them if they were on fire. It was what? Well, look, they were going to call the Battle Royal the Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal. Do you honestly think in your wildest dreams that no one backstage knew about the Fabulous Moolah's past? It was a joke. It was a joke. It was meant to undermine, to say, we'll put these women in the Battle Royal, but we'll put Moolah's name on it. Boy, won't that be funny? All these girls are fighting to get the Moolah trophy when she treated women so badly. They thought it was funny. Then they go to Saudi Arabia and leave the women behind. Then they let Ronda Rousey jump the line, and oh, who cares who's next in line? Folks, wake up. They don't give a damn about the women's division. Period. Anyway, let's get to Raw, and we start out with Roman Reigns, who gets booed out of the building. So what do they do first? Do they make Roman Reigns sound like, well, you know what, I might have complained a little last week, but hey, one against all, right? No. He comes out with more whining. I got screwed again. This time it's not by WWE officials, though. This time it's by Jinder Mahal. So our main face, the guy you want us to cheer, the face of your company, back-to-back weeks comes out and just says, "I got screwed again. I should be a winner, but I'm not, and it's not my fault." What? I'm beginning to wonder if you really honestly are even trying to make Roman Reigns a face. I doubt it. Because if you are, you are so inept at it that it's almost laughable. And if it weren't for the fact that it's actually destroying a guy's career, it would be laughable. Because if you're that bad at understanding what makes a heel and a face, I don't know what the hell you're doing in the wrestling business. I really don't. Now, if this is leading to Roman Reigns becoming a heel, okay. But why do I doubt that? So you're going to have your main baby faces come out and say, "I got screwed again. And it's not fair." Wait a minute. Kevin Owens did later on, and everybody's supposed to boo him? Interesting, huh? So he calls out Jinder Mahal. And instead, Kurt Angle comes out. And Kurt Angle, once again, is made to look like a weak-willed puppet of management who has to come out knowing he's doing the wrong thing, but saying, I need my job and I don't dare stand up to Big Bad Stephanie, even though he fought them at WrestleMania. By now, my head is exploding already because this is the beginning of Raw, and I'm saying, how many mistakes can you possibly make? You've reset Kurt Angle back to being the sissy who's afraid of the boss. Wait a minute. You fought the boss at WrestleMania, and you won. Weren't you the Kurt Angle said, no, I'm not going to let bad things happen. I'm standing up to the bosses. You want to fight me? Fight me. And I won. Now let me go back to being subservient and scared. Oh, my God. So he said, I know, Roman. I know you were screwed so many times, you poor little bastard. I know you're the top guy, and every time that you turn around, somebody screws you. But I can't help you because I'm a weak-willed little man who needs this job so badly because I got a family to support and I have no money since I'm only an Olympic gold medalist and I've been in the wrestling business for 50 years. I mean, you can't get any stupider than that, Sabretooth. You just can't.
Right, and I feel like it's going back to old business as usual. It's like the old authority is back. They just went in roughshod over everybody, doing what they want to do with people. And people, and no one's standing up to them. It's just the same formula, except they're doing it over the phone now. She's not actually there, but she's on the phone, supposedly talking to her now. And Kevin Owens he has the hotline to her whenever he wants it. But it's the same formula, though.
It's the exact same formula, and it's the formula that everybody hated. Mike, how does it make sense that a man who stood up to his boss enough to actually fight him and win at WrestleMania is now back to being subservient to them?
It doesn't, and like you said, it's stupid. And my problem with it is they've done it before, and they'll do it again, because it all boils down to this, that they think every fan has a short attention span. That's what it boils down to. They think that we're going to forget that. They think we were going to forget that he stood up to him and beat him at WrestleMania. They think we're going to forget that, you know?
It's amazing. So you can't start off Raw any worse than this. And then Roman Reigns says, fine, you got to do what you got to do. I'm not mad at you. I know you're just a guy trying to feed his family. Yeah, because, I mean, he's just, wow, Kurt Angle is so desperately poor. He needs this job. He you know, he's like a Walmart greeter. God forbid you fire me. I don't know what I'll do. I'm ready to pound my head into the ground with the writers. I really am. So he goes backstage to apparently try to find Jinder Mahal, where he's stalking Jinder Mahal. And he finds him. Now, here's the world's worst thing. He goes backstage, he asks one poor guy, have you seen Jinder Mahal? Kind of, no, I haven't seen him. Oh, well, gee, what do you know? He's just walking around the corner. Just happens to be walking right around the corner at that particular time because he's just coming in the building after Raw starts. And he pushes Sameel Singh in front of him, which was funny. That was a good part. And they have a decent little backstage brawl where they're separated. Well, they end up coming up front and doing some stuff in front of the audience, and then they're separated. And the gimmick is Mahal was supposed to be in a three-man match to decide who goes to Money in the Bank, and he may be hurt now. And that's how basically we begin Raw. We then get a three-man to decide, again, a qualifier for the Money in the Bank, and we get Bobby Roode, Baron Corbin. Well, no, first we get Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. Let's talk about that. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, again, based on stupidity, not that it's not a good match. It was a great match. But Seth Rollins says, I'm going to do another open challenge. And Kevin Owens responds on Twitter, I'm taking that challenge. Based on what? Based on the fact that you've won what? And, oh, by the way, no one else responded on Twitter. No one else said, no, you're not, Kevin. I'm going to get there first. I mean, there's people backstage going, oh, wow, Seth Rollins is having an open challenge. And oops, damn that Kevin Owens, he beat me to the Twitter button. What? Whatever. So they have a good match. Seth Rollins wins. Seth Rollins has been, you know, cranking on all cylinders. And for the people, not many did, but for a few people who contacted me and said, I still think The Miz is overrated, let me explain something to you. Was that match, Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins, was that better than The Miz versus Seth Rollins? The answer is no. And Kevin Owens is a great wrestler. So if Kevin Owens is a great wrestler and the match wasn't quite as good, what's the different factor? The Miz. Still was a really good match. And they're making Seth Rollins look great, Todd. I mean, he's really defending his title almost weekly, and he's doing it against top people, and he's winning.
You're absolutely right there. Oh, like you said, like I said the other day, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens, The Miz and Seth Rollins, they all make good chemistry and different feuds and different matches. Well, like you said, he's going to be a great fighting champion every week. You're going to see that.
Yeah, they're doing a good job with Seth Rollins. They're really making him look like he is the champion, basically, on Raw, Sabretooth.
Yep, you're right. And also, once again, they did it again. They shot their load at the end of the show because that was the best match of the night. Every match after that, I mean, was nowhere near as good as that. I mean, and Kevin Owens, I mean, give him credit. He sells stuff so well, though. I mean, it was a pretty good match. They do their wild again, like I said. I mean, they put their best match of the night first, and everything else did not live up to it.
It's weird. They keep putting Seth Rollins first. I know they want to warm up the crowd, Mike, but, again, they keep putting on what should be the main event first.
Yeah, that's questionable. But my only question with Kevin Owens is, I understand his finisher is the pop-up power bomb, and it's somewhat effective in my mind. But to me, that frog splash he does because of his size, that's a more effective, you know, a power bomb is effective if you're getting the Undertaker or somebody like that, you know, that's 7 foot, it'd be effective for Braun Strowman. It just doesn't seem that effective for Kevin Owens, whereas the frog splash he does, because, like I say, what is he, 260, 270, Kevin Owens? So, you know, that's a more effective move, but it was a great match, you know, and like you said.
What I'd love to see is that be the setup for the frog splash. You know, you do the pop-up power bomb, get the guy in position, and then climb up for the frog splash would be great. Yeah, they did a good job. So, look, again, the best match of the night was first. We then get Bobby Roode versus Baron Corbin versus No Way Jose in a three-man match, and I swear to you, you could hear a pin drop. Nobody cares about Bobby Roode anymore. Nobody cares about Baron Corbin anymore, and nobody cares about No Way Jose, period. So now you have three guys in a match that nobody gives a damn who wins. And I'm kind of figuring it's got to be Bobby Roode because they can't have Baron Corbin do it again. Nobody wants to see Baron Corbin in the ladder match. No Way Jose's too new, and we already know he's heading for Jabroniville quicker than the Revival. And so Bobby Roode wins to no real reaction. I mean, it was an okay match, Sabretooth, but again, none of these three guys are over, so.
And how hard could it be to have Baron Corbin jump on and attack No Way Jose again? They keep missing these opportunities. I mean, at least like have that storyline going on. Like you said, no one cares about these three guys winning. At least like continue the so-called rivalry between Baron Corbin and No Way Jose. I mean, I think that you can get that.
And you know what gets me is, wasn't Elias and him in a bitter feud? Is it over now? Couldn't they put Elias in this match instead of maybe No Way Jose or somebody and put somebody else in the other match? Because at least that would have made sense that Bobby Roode and Elias are in the same ring at the same time, and maybe people would have cared. It's just weird. It's just weird. It didn't work out, Mike, because nobody really cares about either any one of these three people.
No, nobody really cares, and that's sad. We should be caring about, we should be caring about Corbin, and probably we should be caring about Roode. I mean, that's the case. I mean, yeah, he still gets reaction with his entrance, but again, And that's, and here's what's the sad thing about it. Was it the Miz or somebody? Somebody came up and said, "You're nothing but an entrance to Bobby Roode." Basically,
right.
That's turned out to be the case. And it's sad because Bobby Roode is a great wrestler. You know, he's a great.
Look, there's no doubt. Bobby Roode's spot should have been a heel. And if you ask me my opinion and you ask me, Marcus, how do you book Bobby Roode? I'll tell you how I would have booked Bobby Roode. I'd have booked Bobby Roode to – I would have left Lana over in the Raw division, even though Rusev went to SmackDown. And I would have had Bobby Roode incessantly bother Lana to the point where it's almost, you know, to the point where people are saying, okay, he's a little creepy and he's kind of stalking her and he's – really putting the moves on her, and Rusev can't do anything about it because Rusev is over in on SmackDown. Then, since you're having these joint pay-per-views, you could have Rusev confront Bobby Roode. You know, and you could even done one of those old-fashioned, we'll have a match, and if I win, my wife gets to come to me, with me over to SmackDown. If I lose, she's your valet. That would have been very interesting, and I think that would have been a way to get Bobby Roode over as a major heel a la Rick Roode, and that would have been a way to get Rusev and Lana and over too. But no, they want him a face. For whatever bizarre reason, they want him a face, so that's fine. Doesn't work, but fine. Anyway, we then get a great backstage segment with the Miztourage, who are telling Kurt Angle, we would like a title shot. Which is the ultimate in ballsy since they lost to the champions last week. Which Kurt Angle reminds them, a title shot, you lost to the champions last week. They said, well, yeah, but we're a new team now. Technically, we're a brand new team because we're the A-team. And Kurt Angle says, well, you can't be the A-team because the A-team, of course, is the name of a TV show and a movie, and you can't have that name. So they said, okay, well, then we'll be the B team, and the B will stand for best. We're the best team. So technically we're a new team, so technically we're undefeated. So we'd like a title shot. Angle says, well, you're not going to have a title shot, but I will put you in action, and if you're, you know, if you do well, then we'll see what ends up happening. And he puts him against Breezango. Which is kind of ironic because Breezango has a member called Fandango, and Fandango, of course, is a major company where you can buy movie tickets from, so apparently you can use names of other things, so I guess they could have used the A-team if they wanted to. If Fandango can use Fandango. But here's the deal. They're over. They come out a la the Blue World Order with their own homemade T-shirts. It just has a B on it. Crowd loves it. They look really impressive. They put on a really good match with Breezango, who, listen, you may like Breezango as much as you want. You're going to have to resign yourself to the fact that the WWE is using them for one purpose only, and that is to build up people. They are a comedy act who builds up people. And as much as I may not like it either, because I think Tyler Breeze and Fandango are great wrestlers, that's their role right now. And if that's their role, then listen, that's their role. And their job was to get over the B team here, and they did. They did. Crowd loved it. And I think you got the makings of something good if you don't ruin it. I don't have any faith in the WWE not to ruin it, Todd, but the crowd loved it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. That was one of the funniest skits from Axel and Dallas there. It's like, oh, well, I think we should beat the B team. I was like sort of laughing about that, and well, like you said, they're using, at least they're using Fandango and Tyler Breeze a little more on Monday Night Raw than on SmackDown.
I mean, yeah, they're getting them some ring time, Sabretooth. But listen, the B team is already over. It's really just a debut, and already the crowd is buying into it.
Right, but the thing is, though, that like they have a problem with consistency, though, because at the moment they ask for a title shot. And Kurt Angle says, you know, y'all haven't beaten anybody. But I just would have dictated that they said two words, Ronda Rousey. You know,
right,
she can get a title shot, but we can't, you know. But the fans would love me, though. And I'm sitting out. The WWE will kill that if they're getting like, if they're getting like heat for, you know, like, you know, for that gimmick, they will kill it. If they're getting too hot, they will kill it.
You know, you got to hope not. You got to hope they're not going to use them as just a mid-card jabroni tag team. But based on crowd reaction, Mike, you know, this could have some legs.
This could have some legs. And look, I like their tandem finisher as well. And look, when they did that finisher, was it Fandango? I think they did Fandango. Fandango didn't get up. He sold that finisher. If they're going to protect that finisher to that extent, then they're going to run with these guys for a little bit longer, because generally when they don't protect finishers, that's when you know that the tag team or the guy or the singles wrestler isn't going anywhere. If they decide to protect that finisher, then this team is going to climb up the ladder somewhat.
Yeah, I agree with you. And both of these guys got charisma. And this could generically end up being, you know, something good that the fans will appreciate. We'll see what the WWE does with it. Let me go to the backstage segment with Jinder Mahal, who's being told, you know, you got to do your match before we even jump to the Sasha Banks thing, because this annoyed me. If it wasn't bad enough that you made Roman Reigns look like the crybaby I'm unfairly targeted, Jinder Mahal looking heroic. Jinder Mahal is lying on a bed. His doctor says to him, "We have bandaged you up as good as we can. Your ribs are protected. If you can manage the pain, then you're cleared to wrestle, but it's going to be painful." Jinder Mahal says, "Now everybody will know that I'm the real champion and I'm whatever, I'm going to do this." And he's literally walking through the hallway, grunting in agony, but saying, I'm fine, I'll do this." That is, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? Think about it, folks. This is they want to set Roman Reigns up as being the big baby face. And here you have Jinder Mahal getting off a stretcher, basically, saying, "No, the title means so much to me, the chance to get back and maybe get the title means so much to me that even though I'm in horrible agony, I will go out there and face two top guys. Nothing is going to stop me." And then Roman Reigns doesn't confront him. He sneak attacks him and spears him. Now, here's how much the WWE thinks of you, folks. They put up a cardboard or press board wall and didn't even bother to cover up the signs clearly saying it was a fire exit. So when the wall is smashed, you can clearly see signs on the left and the right pointing in directions to go, which means there couldn't have been a wall there, because who walls up signs? Why would there be signs put on a wall behind a wall? All they had to do was cover the signs. They didn't have to take them down. All they had to do was cover the signs. So when the wall gets smashed, you don't see that there are signs. Because no one puts up a wall and puts signs behind the wall where nobody can read them. That's how much they think of you. They don't even say, "Let me give the fans the benefit of the doubt, and we got to cover these signs so it looks a little more real, like maybe they really did break a wall. Maybe we can put up a couple of beams behind the wall, not that they have to break, but so it looks like there's raw wood behind there too. So it looks like, oh yeah, this wasn't really an alley. Well, you can see it was a walkway. Who walls up a walkway? You could have put up a second partition behind it to make it look like, yeah, this was just a walled up area. But you didn't do it because you didn't care enough. And it made Roman Reigns look like a complete heel who sneak attacked an injured man. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, Jinder Mahal interfered in his match, but he didn't interfere in a match that Roman Reigns got off a stretcher to do. I don't know, Sabretooth. I did not like this segment at all.
I didn't either, because there was, I mean, like he was like laying there, and he was like telling Kurt not to have the match. That I mean, like that's the route they should have went. I mean, like, he should have been like Lesnar saying, if I'm not in that match, then there'll be no match. I mean, that would have been the better thing to do instead of saying like, oh, I, even though I'm hurt, I'll muscle through it. That's a safe thing to do. And like you said, if Roman is a face, why is he attacking an injured Gallo? Hulk Hogan never did that. You know, Ultimate
right.
Warrior never. I mean, no face has ever done that, attack an injured opponent like that in the hallway. Never.
No, it's a heel move. Well, it's a 100% heel move. And, Mike, it's even worse is when the wall breaks and you see the signs on the wall underneath it, you're like, oh, they just put that wall up. So now it doesn't even look remotely real.
Yeah, you're right on that. And look, I mean, this is a total ass backwards thing, you know. I mean, think about it. Who's doing the writing here? Who thought it was a good idea to, when you're trying to make one guy a heel? Who thought it was a good idea to write it in such a way that's going to make him look like a face? And who? And the other question is the other side of the coin can be asked too. Who wrote it? Who thought it was a good idea to write a guy you obviously want to be a face as a heel?
It's mind-boggling. And again, they think so little of you that they don't even bother covering up the fire exit signs so that you won't say to yourself, wait a minute, that was just an artificial wall they put up for 2 seconds. I mean, that was just a terrible, overall terrible. Sami Zayn comes out and does a bizarre promo. He's very good at promos. He's a very good talker. I love Sami Zayn on the mic, but what the hell is this with Bobby Lashley's sisters? I don't want to see any more about Bobby Lashley's sisters. I mean, it's getting into a weird territory now. It really is. It's getting bizarre. I mean, here's Bobby Lashley mugging into the camera like a lovesick puppy saying, I love my sisters. I'm waiting for the little ding on his teeth, you know, where the good guy smiles and the sun reflects off his teeth and you hear ding. I'm waiting for that. I just want to say, before we leave, how much I love my sisters. Oh, my God. Now, he didn't kill him bad enough with that last week. Now, Sami Zayn has to come out and say, well, I contacted his sisters on Facebook. And they tell quite a different story about Bobby Lashley. And I'm going to bring him here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, Bobby Lashley's done. We already know Bobby Lashley's done. He got booed out of the building last night. Nobody cares about Bobby Lashley. You turn him heel, what good's that going to do to Sami Zayn? He's a heel too. So you're going to turn him heel on a heel? I don't even know where this is going, and I don't really care, because I don't really care to see it, Sabretooth. But, I mean, you want to talk about almost intentionally destroying Bobby Lashley. You couldn't have done a better job if you planned it.
Yeah, I agree. And the whole thing with Sami Zayn, I love Sami Zayn. He has like he has the best mannerisms. The way he moves his hands, the way he moves his body when he talks, he has the best mannerisms. But yeah, but I'm like you though. I mean, the whole sister thing makes no sense. I mean, since this time he's been a heel, he never did anything along those lines. Getting on Facebook. Going on Facebook, talking to somebody's family. He's never done that before. So why is he doing it now with Bobby Lashley? It doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, he says, well, he gave me vertigo. Here's the problem with that. And that's why I couldn't compete at the greatest Royal Rumble. Here's the problem. The world knows it's because you had Syrian blood in you and they told you to stay home. Once again, the ridiculous Saudi Arabian nightmare coming back to haunt us. Mike, what the hell? Bobby Lashley and his sisters. It's just bizarre.
I really don't know. I really couldn't answer you that. I mean, we've seen stuff like this done before, you know, but not to this extent. And look, I do agree with you. I mean, when he first started to do this whole Woody Allen, whatever type gimmick that he's doing, you know, as a heel, we said that it was a good idea to do this, and now we didn't foresee them taking it in this weird direction. But I mean, the only thing I can figure is they said, all right, the thinking is, well, he brought it up first, but I'm going to prove that it's not what he says is not true. You know, that's the only thing I'm thinking, they're thinking right there. I don't know.
I mean, I guess that's what they're thinking. But if they're going to go so far as to bring three girls on there, this is what are they going to say? No, Bobby was a bully, and he never stuck up for us, and okay. And then Bobby Lashley comes out and says what? They're right, I lied, and then I destroy Sami Zayn, and wait a minute, that makes Sami Zayn look like a face. And Bobby Lashley look like a lying bastard. So you turn to heel on a heel? Or he comes out and says, these aren't my sisters, and this is outrageous, and I either way, this is going to be a circus, and I don't think this is going to be very good. And I don't see anything compelling about Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn as a feud. Sami Zayn should be feuding with maybe like Finn Balor or some of those guys that they, you know, they can really get some meat in on it, you know. Anyway, Sasha Banks, Ember Moon, and Natty defeats the Riot Squad. Natty taps out. I don't even know which one she tapped out. It doesn't matter. The Riot Squad needs to break up. They need to go their separate ways. Two out of the three of them have a future. The other one's nice to look at, so she'll be around. Not even going to discuss it because it doesn't matter. It did nothing to further any angles. None. Zero. Alexa Bliss. Well, actually, we go to the Raw Tag Team Champions. The Revival. And the Deleter of Worlds. Okay, well, the Revival are now jabrons. That's nice to know. In a tag team division where you have too many jabron teams, there's one more. And they were totally just handed their ass, and that's the end of it. There's nothing even to talk about there either. So let's go to Alexa Bliss, defeats Mickey James and Bayley. Before the match, Sasha Banks says, I wish you well, I really do. And Bayley says, thanks. And this thing is still going. I mean, how long are you going to keep this thing going? This is getting really, really old. Either pull the trigger on this or wash your hands of it. Because this is getting to be a convoluted mess. One week they're just about to come to blows, or they do come to blows. The next week they're regretful and blah, 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 blah. And then I figure, okay, she's going to wish her well. But something's going to happen. It's kind of two-on-one anyway, because it's Mickey James and Alexa Bliss. And then you know they're going to team up on her. And so Sasha's going to come down to even the score, and she's going to end up costing Bayley. That's what I figured was going to happen. No, not at all. If anything, we kind of saw like a little dissension in Alexa Bliss and Mickey James, which I don't understand. And Alexa Bliss ends up winning, which is fine. But how does this further any angle concerning any of these women, Sabretooth?
I have no idea. Because like you said, I mean, the whole scenario wrote itself. You got Alexa Bliss and Mickey James, two friends, against Bayley. Logic will dictate that they would beat the hell out of her, hence prompting Sasha Banks to come down. That writes itself. I mean, I thought the same thing when I heard when I heard the booking for that match. That's what I thought. But somehow they're going
to
gang up on Bayley.
Of course, because that's the logical thing to think. The only thing that really comes to mind. And here's another thing that comes to mind. Why would Kurt Angle hate Bayley? Because would that not be obvious? Would Kurt Angle not say, wait a minute, I'm putting Bayley up against basically a tag team? That's not fair. So, Mike, it makes Kurt Angle look like a dick.
Yeah, it really does. But the one thing that stands out to me with this thing is Bayley is still over in London. She may not be over here, but she's still over there. I mean, that whole Bayley chant they had going. I mean, I mean, they love her there for some reason. And again, had they not ruined her over here, that probably have caught on over here as well.
Yeah, probably. Now here's the mind blower of the night. We had a backstage segment with McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, which I didn't understand, where they kind of called out Finn Balor and Braun Strowman, and I'm like, what? Why would they be picking on those two guys? And then we find out there's going to be a tag team match. Why? What the hell is going on with Braun Strowman? I thought he was your guy. I thought you had Braun Strowman primed and ready to be your number one badass when the music hits, somebody's getting their ass kicked, face. Solo. I don't really have any friends. I kick people's ass, and that's what I do. Now, all of a sudden, he can't glad hand enough people. If he's not pulling 10-year-old boys out of the audience, he's tag-teaming with somebody else. Oh, Bobby Lashley's my buddy. Now Finn Balor's my buddy. Why? Why are you putting Braun Strowman in tag team matches? I'll tell you why, because you don't have anybody to put him against. That's why. And this is why I said from the very beginning of the Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler pairing, don't make them a tag team. You want to make them a faction where they watch each other's backs, I'm all for it. Once in a while they tag team, I'm all for it. But don't make them a permanent tag team. Because when you do this, look at the potential you had there with Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. Look at that potential. The fans really want to see that. And I thought Drew McIntyre did such a great job. He bluffed me out. When Drew McIntyre got in that ring and told Finn Balor, tag Braun Strowman, and he wasn't one bit afraid of Braun Strowman, he's just like, come on. You want some of me? Let's go. I was like, wow, this is great, because Drew McIntyre is the first guy not to be afraid at all. You know, Drew McIntyre is like, hey, fuck you. Step in the ring. I'm not a small dude. Let's go. And then instantly tags out Dolph Ziggler. Teasing the fans. That's a great move. That's a great heel move. One-on-one, you could add a really good feud here. But if you're going to stick Braun Strowman with every guy, you know, wait a minute. If you're going to put him with Finn Balor or Bobby Lashley as a tag team, why'd he pick the 10-year-old kid out of the audience? Why didn't Lashley show up at WrestleMania? Why wouldn't you just let Finn Balor do it? I mean, I don't get it. Why is he tag teaming all of a sudden? Oh, what, do you want the tag team championship? It doesn't make any sense. And you got two really good solo guys in Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler being wasted. I'd be all for a Dolph Ziggler Finn Balor feud, and I'd be all for a Drew McIntyre Braun Strowman feud, but not as tag teams. One on one. Yeah, Drew McIntyre can be in his corner or vice versa. That's all fine. But why do they have to be tag teams, Mike? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense either. And frankly, you know, we all, you know, keep calling them the Balor Club, but again, Anderson and Gallows aren't on Raw anymore. So I guess they're going with the fans as the Balor Club. I don't know. But, I mean, you could flip him heel and stick another tag team with him and call them the Balor Club, but they don't want to do that, you know. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean – And here's something else to think about. You know, how they won. You know, how they won that match, and Ziggler won the match without even using their finishing maneuver and stuff. Now, granted, Braun Strowman hit the post, and look, when he hits the post, he sells that thing. I mean, yeah, that whatever that thing is that's around the ring post makes a noise. But he stole it, you know. So he's getting better and better as the days go by, you know.
And that's why I don't think you waste him in a tag team, Sabretooth. I mean, this is the guy you had primed to be one of your number one badass guys, and you keep sticking him in a tag team. It doesn't make sense to me.
And I was shocked at how well Drew McIntyre sizes up with Braun Strowman. I mean, like you said, when he asked for Braun Strowman and Braun stepped in, they were sizing each other up. I got to my seat because, he sizes up pretty well with Braun Strowman. He's no small guy. That would be a hell of a match, I think. But, yeah, but I agree, though. Especially like doing this, like, as to where you might have had, like one-on-one matches, as to where, like, Drew against Braun with Dolph Ziggler.
Can you imagine Drew McIntyre against Braun Strowman with annoying Dolph Ziggler being at ringside distracting? That's gold.
Right. And that's how it should have been. It's supposed to be like one-on-one matches. Drew against Braun with Dolph at ringside and Dolph against Finn Balor with Drew at ringside, and they didn't even have a match. Because if I'm like jump both of them like before the match start, that way you have like Braun and Finn Balor sort of like being like likely allies against these two guys. That would have like been like a good build up for that.
Right. If you had to play it that way, where you had a couple of solo matches like this, and then said, "Well, look, it's always going to be 2-on-1," and Finn Balor could have came to Braun Strowman and said, "Look, it's always going to be 2-on-1." And maybe you don't think you need the help, but I think I do, you know, and I'm not 7 foot tall. Let's take them, you know, they're both mutual enemies. Let's take them. Then you would have said, well, this is a good tag team match. Okay. But no, you've done it again, ass backwards. I mean, the money is in Drew McIntyre versus Braun Strowman, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. I would like to see a Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman feud, like a 1-on-1. Like you said, I just don't like Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler as a tag team, but like you said, he could be like a bodyguard for Dolph Ziggler to watch his back.
Yeah, faction is fine. I don't have a problem with a faction, but I don't want Braun in a tag team either. So then we get to the fact that Kevin Owens has now been placed in favor of Jinder Mahal because Stephanie McMahon ordered it. And Bobby Lashley and Elias in the triple threat main event, winner going to Money in the Bank. And what did we all on this panel say almost 5-6 months ago? Elias is gold and the fans are going to definitely boost him. The whole crowd was going nuts. I don't even think that was scripted, the part where Elias said, "Let me grab the guitar," and had JoJo hold the microphone for a minute. By the way, somebody wrote me and said, "Did you see that Braun Strowman broke his trophy from Saudi Arabia?" It was actually Drew McIntyre, but yeah, Drew McIntyre knocked down the trophy. Lord have mercy. Anyway, Elias is so over. It's sick. You got to strike while the iron's hot. You got to flip this guy. You got to do it right now. He doesn't have to change. He could still be a sarcastic, you know, guy. He could still be a little bit whatever with the fans and the hometown and things, but you got to put him against heels. They're booing Bobby Lashley. They're booing him when he's facing Elias. They're not booing Kevin Owens as much, but Elias was clearly the favorite guy there. Clearly the guy that crowd wanted to see. There was a part in the match where he literally says to Kevin Owens, "They're walking with me. They're all walking with me." And Kevin Owens is like, I don't care. Let's just eliminate Lashley. And I'm saying to myself, they're on the verge of turning. I thought they were turning him that night. I thought this is the night they turn Elias. Kevin Owens is going to do something to cost Elias big time. Which they ended up doing, kind of, but I don't think it's enough to turn him. I thought there was going to be something major happen, that it's clear that Elias is a face now. But that's got to happen. That's got to happen soon, Mike. I mean, that crowd was 100% for him.
And look, and here's the deal. Did you hear the groan when, you know, that unscripted moment got broken up and there was an audible groan because people want to see that. People want to eat, no matter how bad Corey Graves doesn't like his music, they want to hear him play. The people want to hear it. And there was an audible groan when that got stopped.
They were chanting, "Let him sing, let him sing, let him sing, let him sing." They absolutely were. I mean, look, the dude is completely over. And I don't know how much more you can get a guy over before you use him correctly, Sabretooth, before it cools down.
Yeah, like Mike just said, man, fans were voting that, man. I mean, I don't think in the history, like all the characters who had guitars in their gimmicks, Honky Tonk Man, Jeff Jarrett, they ain't never tried to do a concert during a damn match. That was a highlight. I mean, that was his moment. I love that. I love that he's so damn egotistical as to do that during a match. That was gold.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's getting over, and, you know, it made him almost a face because he's saying these people all want it, and as bad as I want to be the champion and go to Money in the Bank, I'm going to give him a concert. It was a funny moment, and it was a face moment, in my opinion, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, Elias don't need a belt or anything. He's over already.
But you got to use him. You got to use him. You can't just say, okay, he loses every match. So now Bayley is the one that the crowd is cheering. Bayley gets pinned. Elias is the one the crowd is cheering. Elias gets pinned. You see the problem here? You can't have this all the time. I thought Triple H said, I want to send the crowd home happy. Remember when Triple H was getting over on Jinder Mahal in India? And when they asked him, why did you go to India and basically, beat Jinder Mahal? I thought that was the idea, was to get him over. He said, well, we were the last match. You got to send the crowd home happy. Well, wait a minute. Sending the crowd home happy would have been Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn eliminates Bobby Lashley, and Kevin Owens gets eliminated by Elias, and Elias ends up singing a song to end Raw about how he's going to Money in the Bank. That's what brings the crowd home happy, Sabretooth.
Right. My children wasn't happy last night. I mean, granted, doing it that way got Kevin Owens major heel heat, because I was pissed off the fact that this asshole lost the match, first of all. He lost to Seth Rollins, then got another chance, and ends up winning his way in the Money in the Bank. If they wanted heel heat for Kevin Owens, they sure as hell succeeded, because I'm mad about this shit. But you could have furthered it.
How about if Kevin Owens didn't win? How about if Elias won and then they said, tune into the network for what you didn't see on Raw, because apparently Elias is going to hold a concert for these people. And everybody would be like, that would have been awesome. And then next week, Kevin Owens, I want yet another chance, and he gets it. You got 5 weeks to play with this, Sabretooth.
Right. But like you said, though, it's like they don't think ahead. They just don't with this. I mean, they could have and you're right. I mean, they could have got a lot more out of this, especially as far as the laughs is concerned. I mean, really, even though he did the little concert thing, at the end, it really didn't do nothing for him,
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, what should have happened was Kevin Owens should have got pinned by Elias. Elias goes on to the Money in the Bank. And Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley, their feud starts, and Kevin Owens, once again dejected, once again doesn't get his way, says, I want another chance because look what happened. I got distracted, even though he's my friend, I got distracted by Sami Zayn, and that's not fair. And Mike, that would have furthered up everything. And at the end of the night, Elias could have had his little concert anyway and sent those fans home happy.
Yeah, and look, here's something to think about. You put that on a pay-per-view with something like, Titus World Slide, and there's two moments on a WrestleMania pay-per-view, A guy giving an impromptu concert during a match, and a guy doing something that you could not repeat anywhere at any time and get the same result.
But the way to handle this would have been, let Elias get the pin. Kevin Owens dejectedly storms out all mad and kicking the ring apron and everything, and you don't know what's happening. Elias goes to walk out, raises his hand, I'm going to the Money in the Bank, starts to leave, looks at the guitar, looks at the audience, looks at the guitar, looks at the audience. You know the audience is going to start chanting, yes, 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 yes. And he says, give me the guitar. And he goes in there and sings a song about how he's going to win Money in the Bank. The crowd would go nuts, okay? They'd have left Raw happy, and then Kevin Owens next week could have said, look, that's another bad one because Sami Zayn came down. Now, I don't blame Sami for coming down, him and Bobby Lashley, after what Lashley did to him, but it did distract me, and I need another opportunity because my opportunity was stolen. And once again, Kurt Angle could have said no, 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 and Stephanie could have said yes, 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 and that would have furthered it more. You got 5 weeks to play with. In the meantime, you have put Elias over so huge, Sabretooth, that the crowd is just going to love him next time he comes out.
Right. And also, like you said, now that Kevin Owens has what he wants, you got, 6 weeks of Money in the Bank? Now that
Five
Kevin
weeks,
Owens
yeah.
has what he wants. Yeah, now that Kevin Owens has what he wants, he's in. I mean, like, what's he going to do now? I mean, like, he has what he wants, so there's no more calling Stephanie for anything. I mean, so, I mean, like you said, if he had lost that match, I mean, he could have, like, rolled that pony all the way to Money in the Bank. But now,
you absolutely could have, and you should have. Now, before we give our ratings this week, we should say that a weird thing happened. We know that Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles are going to fight for the belt at Money in the Bank. But it was announced they're going to fight tonight. Now, I don't know whether that's a mistake or not. I don't know whether that's, you know, an error. But that's what they said. They said the next chapter of this feud is tonight. They didn't say it was for the belt. But that's weird. Usually if you're going to give somebody a pay-per-view match, you don't give it away first on TV. And apparently they're going to. So I don't know where that's going. It's a little bizarre. We'll see what happens tonight. Let's rate Raw. Well, again, the land of missed opportunities. Elias should have won that match, so Kevin Owens could have kept bitching right up until, you know, the last qualifying match for Money in the Bank. That's number one. Should have ended Raw with a little concert about how he's going to win Money in the Bank and the crowd cheering behind him. That's number two. I don't know why, if you're furthering Sasha and Bayley, that nothing happened. Nothing. So that's number three. I don't get the thing with Bobby Lashley's sisters, but whatever. And I don't understand why Roman Reigns is sneak attacking a supposedly injured and gutting it out brave Jinder Mahal, who's saying, as injured as I am, I'm going to that ring. Well, okay, that's kind of the reverse of what you want, but okay. So there was a lot of weird things. Mixed in with the weird things, we had a great Seth Rollins-Kevin Owens match. We had the debut of the B-team, which that was a really good match. And there was a couple of things in there that, you know, Elias doing an impromptu, trying to do an impromptu concert, great. Again, you had missed opportunities with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, which I think you shouldn't have teased that right away yet. I don't know. It's got to be a little below average because there's too many missed opportunities. There was a couple of good matches, but again, you had chances to grow these branches on the trees and you just cut them down, really. So I'm going to give it a C-. I don't think it's even average. I think it's a little bit below average. Todd, what's your opinion?
I got to go with a C-, too.
Okay, so there's two C-. Let me go to Sabretooth. What's your rating this week?
I'm going to give it a C-. Like you said, the high points, the Seth Rollins match, Elias' concert, the fact that they got me salivating, watering at the mouth to see Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre. That was a good teaser right there because I want to see that when it, you know,
yep.
It got me watering for that. But strange mistakes, though, man, with the whole Roman Reigns, Jinder Mahal dynamic and the whole Bayley going against Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, how that didn't play into the whole Sasha Banks, how she didn't play into it. That was another missed opportunity. Yes, a C-.
Yeah, a couple of really odd, head-scratching missed opportunities, Mike.
Yeah, it's got to be a C-minus for me as well. But one thing that's kind of stood out for me is every time Strowman does that running shoulder on the outside, everybody sells it. Everybody, if it's
yep.
Kevin Owens, he's going to do a flip or something like that. I mean, even what's his name? McIntyre sold it big time. So obviously they want that move to mean, that particular move to mean, be a big spot for Strowman, you know?
Yes, and as a little bit of a bonus content to this week's show, I want to ask the panel if they noticed this and if it bothered them. Number one, I want to see Drew McIntyre, number one, has such a good look to him. When he comes down that ring aisle, you're like, that's some dude that would fuck you up. You know what I mean? He looks mean. He looks big. He looks like he's not kidding. Doesn't look like he has any fear. And you're like, okay, that's serious trouble. Drew McIntyre is going to be a big star here. But here's what someone has to say to Drew McIntyre, who's obviously still got that mentality of the 3MB mentality a little bit. He oversells to people he shouldn't oversell to. I watched Finn Balor give him one right hand, and Drew McIntyre flew off the ring apron and lands on his ass outside the ring, and I'm like, no, 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 no. Drew McIntyre should have just sold it as, okay, I got punched, but it didn't really do much to me except piss me off. Drew can't oversell. Because if he does oversell, then he becomes ordinary. And it's not that big of a deal when he fights Braun Strowman. I would have told Drew McIntyre, you got to undersell Finn Balor a lot. You can oversell, he's quicker than you. But undersell his strength and how much these moves are affecting you. When Braun Strowman gets in the ring, that's a different deal. But with Finn, in order to make Braun's offense against you special and make it look like, wow, Braun was able to do it, you got to undersell Finn. And when I saw him literally fly off the ring apron with one right hand from Finn Balor's saber tooth, I was like, yeah, that's a huge mistake on Drew's part.
It really was, man. Because like I said, Drew sizes up pretty well with Braun Strowman. I mean, like, look like damn near the same height. I mean, you know, so yeah, he shouldn't have oversold. He shouldn't have oversold Finn Balor. Thing is, how Braun Strowman, he's a child to win a tag team championship. There's no way in hell he should have oversold Finn Balor. Now, Ziggler probably could have,
right.
Should have, but not Drew.
As a matter of fact, I would have told him purposely undersell it, Mike. When Finn Balor throws that right hand and hits you, you just look at him like, what the fuck was that supposed to be? You know, and that way when Braun Strowman knocks you down, it's like, whoa, well, Braun had no trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the way. Of course, we've said this about Balor all along. He doesn't have the right ring psychology.
And
that's supposed to be able to stand
it. Drew sells it. Drew can't sell it. I know Drew's trying to be a nice guy and say, well, I got to sell Finn. Yeah, but no, you don't have to sell Finn if he's throwing you a right hand and you're 6'8" and he's, you know, 5'6". It just doesn't look good.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And that's the thing. Now, as far as everything else in the match, I had no problems with that match. You know, the right person, if you're gonna stick with the tag team, the right tag team won. If you're going to make anything about this tag team, the right tag team won. I got no problem.
I know there was no intention to knock down that trophy and break it, which they did. But wouldn't it have been great if some writer said, look, when he gives you that shoulder, you got to oversell it, Drew. You got to sell it like it damn near killed you. And then when Braun tries to run back in the ring to prevent the fact that Finn Balor got cheated for the win, Drew McIntyre's got to sell that he was mad that he got knocked down with that shoulder and purposely destroy that trophy. Because then you'd say, well, okay, now it's on. Now there is going to be a Drew and Braun thing. And that would have been cool, right?
Yeah, it really would have been cool. And, yeah, I mean, as it stands, it looks like it's an accident because – Where they position them. I mean, if they didn't want him to hurt that trophy, it should have happened on the other side of the ring. You know?
Right.
The whole running shoulder should have happened on the other side of the ring. The trophy is not, you know, there. The trophy's in one piece, and Brian can do whatever he's going to do with it, you know. Because we know,
yeah,
we know,
I mean,
he likes.
Yeah, it was totally an accident, Sabretooth, but it would have been a kind of a cool gimmick if after that Drew broke it on purpose.
Yeah, the truth is, though, I mean, like, I thought that's what they were going to do with it. If they had it sitting down there like that, I thought either Drew or Dolph were going to do something to that trophy. They were going to, like, take it and, like, kick it and bend it up or something. That's what I thought they were going to do with it. And I wish they would have done it because that would have added, like, a whole new dynamic to it. Not that Braun Strowman really cares about the trophy on things, but the fact that they did it to disrespect him would piss him off, you know?
Yeah, it would have made for a much better storyline if they do have anything planned in the future for Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. But my key points coming out of this show, which I think all of you guys will agree with me on, are the following. A, Seth Rollins is really legitimately on fire, and you got to run with him. That's number one. Elias is over like you cannot believe, and you got to flip him hard immediately and run with him. Three, Drew McIntyre is going to be big time. He is going to be money, and you've got to get him out of a tag team. He could stay with Dolph, but get him out of the tag team, get him to be a dominant solo guy who's tossing people around like it's all right on his way to Braun Strowman. And D, you got something with this B team. They're underdogs that people want to root for, and you have to run with them as well. Those are the four things, Mike, coming out of this that I think the WWE needs to pay attention to.
Well, and you know, and you might want to throw a five thing and say this and say that Bayley was over and she should be over and we've screwed her. But yeah, you're right. Those four things. Yeah, you know, those four things are there. Those four things are things to build on, especially the B team. That could be huge, and they're gonna have to make sure that they make them worth something in terms of at least a minor challenge to the tag team titles at some point.
There's got to be something. Sabretooth, those are the key points. And, you know, the WWE better pay attention to those because you can feel the pulse of it in the crowd.
Well, especially with the B team. I mean, they have so much potential with those guys. I mean, like, right now, they're a joke. But eventually, I mean, they're going to have to make these guys serious contenders for those belts. I mean, they have to. Who are they to get? Who's hot like them right now? Nobody.
Yeah.
And as far as like Drew McIntyre, I'm like you said earlier, even he's in tag team, like because they have no one else to go against him. They have someone now, Drew McIntyre. I mean, he's like I said, he sizes up well with Braun Strowman. That's who they got. That's who is next. I mean, he's the guy right now to go against Braun Strowman.
There's no question. And my opinion has now changed. The Miz would be great with that briefcase. There's no question. But the man who needs to win this is Dolph Ziggler. Because if Dolph Ziggler wins that briefcase with Drew McIntyre being his quote-unquote bodyguard, there is a dynamic to this. I know people are going to say, well, who's he going to cash in on, Brock Lesnar? Nobody ever said that. Nobody ever said you had to cash in on the champion of your brand. So it would be interesting to see. Besides that, is Brock Lesnar going to continue to be the champion? I would imagine Roman Reigns at some point getting that this year. And then it would be Dolph Ziggler, Roman Reigns, but look who's lurking in the background, Drew McIntyre, who in the meantime is having a feud with Braun Strowman or whatever. You would have the dynamic of Shawn Michaels and Diesel if you had Dolph Ziggler dancing down to the ring with that Money in the Bank briefcase with Drew McIntyre looming behind him, a major force to be reckoned with, Mike. I think there's a lot of story you can write there.
Right, and I think they did the same thing with a smaller wrestler and Razor Ramon at one point as well. So it's been done before that way.
Yeah, it's been done. But you know what? It's a tried and true thing. It could work out. So you got a couple of decent options. I think The Miz could potentially be a decent option to hold that briefcase. And I think if you can get Dolph Ziggler in there and he wins it, thanks to McIntyre or whatever, you got that. But right now, the key factors for the WWE is people are saying, well, there's nobody anybody's interested in. That's because you're not running with them. Let me give you a list of people the fans are interested in. Rusev, AJ Styles, you are running with, so that's fine. Rusev, Elias, Drew McIntyre, Samoa Joe, these are guys, and The Miz, and Seth Rollins. These are the guys that everyone is into right now. And these are the guys who've got to be your main and central focus for a while. You don't have to ignore everybody else, but these are the guys you have to say, look, this is the ones the fans are buying into. And if the fans are buying into them, those are the ones we have to focus on. It shouldn't be rocket science, Sabretooth. It should be obvious.
Yeah, I mean, like, to us, it's obvious, but to what we're writing doing the booking, it really isn't, man, because especially about Samoa Joe. I mean, he's been here a while, and I feel that we still haven't seen what he can do, really. I mean, Samoa Joe is a bad ass. He's like the training that character, but as far as like what he's doing in the ring, though, we haven't seen his full potential, though. I've seen him in TNA, NXT. I mean, he's nowhere near the beast he was on his main roster.
No, he's not. He's not. And in the meantime, the WWE is trying their damnedest to just get you interested in Roman Reigns. I have never seen the WWE work so hard on one person, and I don't know why they don't just resign themselves to saying this experiment isn't working, turn him heel. Or if you cannot do that, and absolutely would ruin every plan down the road, then you have got to write better things than for him to sneak attack a man who has hurt ribs and whine about how he's always being mistreated, because this is not helping Roman Reigns. I don't even know if it's possible to get him over, but if you can, it's not going to be this way. And in the meantime, you've got people waiting in the wings who the fans are anxious to see put on top and anxious to buy their merchandise and follow their career and cheer for. And if you put them all on the back burner for one guy, you're making a huge mistake. Anyway, it should be a very interesting SmackDown tonight. We'll find out more about who's going to be in Money in the Bank, and we'll find out about the AJ Styles Nakamura situation. We'll be back here on Friday with more information and, of course, our SmackDown report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.